There we go. All right, so what does it mean to be Anglican? It's interesting when you heard David talk, right, about this group of people, these men and women who...
You are recording. Thank you.
Who wanted to plant this church. They just sensed God leading them to do a new work. And one could wonder, why did they just say, okay, we're just going to start our own church. We're just going to be like a Bible church or a Baptist church or something else. Why didn't they do that, right? Because they agonized over, you know, a number of years, in a sense, of preparing, planning, praying, getting others involved, even to the degree where, you know, TJ was about to lose his, you know, license as a minister and all of this stuff. Why would they do it? They wanted an Anglican church. They wanted a liturgical work of the Lord. And let me describe it this way. When I think of Anglican, I see it as it's an expression of worship and life rooted in the historical framework of God. So it's an expression of worship that we see here with this liturgical worship that's not just about doing traditional stuff for traditional sake. It actually begins to form us more and more as followers of Jesus. And so they wanted something that had deep roots in the historic Christian faith, not just something that they could come up with their own, but something rooted more deeply. And I think that's one of the reasons why they fought so hard, diligently in prayer, surrendering to the Lord. Say, God, what do you want for us to go about this? So let me put it this way. When I think about Anglicanism, I think of two words, connected and order. Okay, connectedness and order. Think about it this way. Every one of us in this room, and I would say everybody who comes into St. Andrews, we're all longing to be connected, right? We're all longing for connection. We want to ultimately be connected to God. That's the ultimate cry of our hearts, is that we could be reconciled and connected to God. But there's a longing that all of us feel is to be connected to one another. And I would even go beyond that to say we want to be connected to something bigger than us, right? We want to be connected to something bigger. So I'm going to explain that in a minute. But then the second word that, when I think about this, that resonates with me, it's that whole, it's the word order. We long for order. I think we long for order because most of us live pretty chaotic lives. You know, we live frantic, fast-paced lives. You know, as a dad of three kids, our kids are older now to a degree, but when they were younger, we always wrestled with how many activities do we put them in? You know, how busy do we keep ourselves during the week? And I think for so many people today, we live, instead of ordered lives, we live lives of chaos. And what this does, what our Anglican tradition does, what you see on Sunday mornings, our liturgy, it helps bring order back into our lives. I'm going to talk about that a little bit more in a minute. But let me jump first to what it looks like to be connected. So as Anglicans, we're connected to the historic Christian faith. It's not something new in the last 30 years. You know, it's not a new movement that's based on the latest, most popular Christian authors or theologians of the day. It's a movement based in the historic, again, Christian faith that dates back to the 16th century in England. The English Reformation, led by Thomas Cranmer, he led this movement to, in a sense, reclaim Christian worship in a way of life of following Christ that the Catholic Church at large had kind of skewed and turned away from just the historical biblical teachings, in a sense. And so Thomas Cranmer sought to restore the church to its right way of life and worship. So in that, he wrote two things that are very important for us, the 39 Articles. I'm not going to get into those. You can look at them online or we can have a conversation offline on that. But it's kind of our doctrine of faith. You know, what are the standards that it brings from Scripture that helps us see what we believe and why? And then the second thing he put together was the Book of Common Prayer. And I don't know if y'all have seen this or ever you know, gotten hold of a Book of Common Prayer. We use this all the time. In fact, our worship service is basically really out of the Book of Common Prayer. The collects that we say, the scriptures that we read, the liturgy during communion, during the Eucharist, it's right out of the Book of Common Prayer. And I'm going to talk more about this in just a minute, but think about that, that we're not just doing something that we came up with that we think is cool in Little Rock. We're doing something that churches all over the world are doing, you know, a liturgy like this. So we're connected with a larger body of believers around the world. But being connected, too, I think is important when you think about it this way. Being connected to the foundational word of the Lord, of God's word. Thomas Cranmer brought the beauty of that back. We're connected also to the early Christian church in the third century, you know, with the creeds, the Apostles' Creed and Nicene Creeds. So what I want you to see is as we call ourselves Anglican, we're deeply rooted into something that is so much deeper than ourselves, that dates back not just to the 16th century, but the practices that we seek to do in our worship. We've learned from early church fathers how they did worship when the church first began. Because we want to be connected for connected sake. I think the rhythms of life that it leads us into takes us deeper into an intimacy with the Lord. And so one of the things that we hope that you experience at St. Andrew's is that we're not just doing it for tradition's sake, you know. There's meaning, there's purpose behind it that we hope begins to form our lives more around the gospel. And Dustin's going to get into a lot of that, talking about liturgy and why we do what we do and unpacking the different components that we do on Sunday mornings. Let me give you a quote here just about Thomas Cranmer, what he envisioned when he led this movement, this English Reformation, and wrote the Book of Common Prayer. Here's what he envisioned. He imagined a life in which Christians would meet daily to read and pray the Word of God together as a community in order to live as God's Word in the community. I love that statement. That he longed that Christians would meet daily to read and pray the Word of God, where? Together. We're in community. It's not like so much of what we see in Christendom in America today, where we're just isolated. You know, it's me and my relationship with Jesus, right? That's not a biblical concept. The Bible talks about community. And so what he envisioned in this as he began this movement was that Christians would get together, would pray together, would read God's word together, not just so that we could be this community away from the world, right, which a lot of people can tend to do, but that we would be a community in the world, that as our lives are transformed, people are drawn to the gospel. And one of the things that you find in the Book of Common Prayer, not only does it help form our liturgy on Sunday mornings and a number of other things that we do. But it has prayers, morning prayer, noonday prayer, and evening prayer, that as people, and, you know, as the body of Christ, we can get together. And whether we're doing it together in a group, or you know, you're doing it at home, you know, in the morning, you're doing it at home in the morning, I'm doing it at home in the morning, we're engaged in common prayers together. We're reading scriptures that the others, you know, that others are reading together. And it begins to form and shape our lives. So that's a piece. When I think about being connected, that's a piece of what I love about being Anglican. The second thing is that, you know, David alluded to it also, that we're a part of a larger movement in the world. He talked about the greater Anglican communion. And so St. Andrew's is a part of that. We're not just a standalone church that's just kind of about us and a mission that we see God calling us to. But there's accountability, there's a connectedness to what God is doing around the world. So I want to just stop there, and before I move on, and then just ask you this question. How important is being connected to you? You know, that you be connected. Does that make sense? When you think about just the importance of being connected, how does that resonate with you?
It's very important to be connected. I guess it's what you're asking.
Yeah.
I want to learn more, you know, about the church, about to know more about God's word,
yeah,
and what He has for me and what He wants me to do for Him.
Yeah.
How I can serve Him.
Yeah.
So I guess if that's what you're.
Yeah, and that part is that you're doing that in the larger community. You're doing that with other believers as opposed to just Ellen on her own,
uh-huh,
right? And powerful things happen, I believe, when we are living in community, learning, and growing in that exact way. Yeah. How about anyone else? How does this idea of being connected resonate with you? Yeah.
With him and with others. And
yeah.
There's nothing else that can fill that humanness in yeah. us as far as that the way he's created us for.
Yeah.
And with the church, what I feel is that we're a part of the worship along with,
yeah.
you know, the pastors and the other leaders of the church. It's, if I don't use the right term, right?
Yeah. No, no, no. It's yeah. it's good. No.
You participate in
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
Yes. I asked someone, first I said, what should I call Robert? A pastor, a father, or what? I didn't know. And Mary said she just calls you Robert.
that's kind of what I prefer.
That's right.
And I'm still learning your name. There we go.
You know,
Philip, again, who was pastor when I came in, like, me too, I'm coming from a world where none of this is familiar. You got all these people in robes up front. He's a bishop, and his wife calls him a dog. And I'm like, okay, so we're pretty informal.
That
stuck with me.
Call you Father Robert.
Did he?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, and there some do, actually, and, you know, and but there's a formality that some Anglican churches have, you know, where they are called Father and, you know, so-and-so, but here at St. Andrew's, part of the ethos, the DNA of our community is we take some of that formality out. Anyway, that's one who I am. I mean, I've been in ministry 20 years at the other churches where I was. They didn't really know what to call me, and I just said, call me Robert. And that's just, you know. But anyway, yeah. Thinking about being connected, when I first got here, a year later, I went to Africa, to Tanzania. And the bishop that has my papers is Bishop Sas Peter Ndenza. You hear us praying for him each Sunday. So I went to Tanzania with a couple of other folks from here, and it was so powerful because the way they were worshiping there, as they said the Nicene Creed, as they read the collect and prayed the collect that we did that same Sunday as well, you know, and the scriptures that they were reading for that Sunday, we were reading here. There's something powerful about seeing God's kingdom is so alive and vibrant, and we're doing something that's bigger than us. And it's not just about me and my little world in Little Rock, Arkansas, but when our eyes are open to the larger church worldwide, we see God moving in powerful ways. And we're a part of that. You know, we're a part of that. So there's something that I grabbed hold of when I came to St. Andrew's and began to learn more and more what it was to be Anglican, because I didn't really come from that. That really struck me, is that we are part of something much bigger than me, than us at St. Andrew's, but it's God's movement throughout this world. And so that's one thing that when you think about what it means to be Anglican, to think about that. The other is order. And so I want to ask you this question. Where in your life would you like to see order? Are there places in your life that you would like to see order?
I think where Ian and I are, one of the things we're seeking and learning where we need to make intentional choices for this to happen is order, but maybe another word's rhythm.
Yeah, yeah.
Of this, the rhythm in which God really designed us that includes more of a balance of
yeah.
work, where we live out our passions and purpose, fun, kind of reignites and energizes us,
yeah.
rest, which
yeah.
restores, and then worship, which is kind of the foundation of
yeah.
all that. And so
yeah.
we realize we are very out of balance.
Yeah.
Our life is chaotic because we're not experiencing that rhythm.
Yes, yes.
That brings a sense of order, but just
yeah.
a sense of strength and foundation is because life is can be pretty chaotic, yeah. You know, and you kind of, but you got that rhythm to come back to. So that's one thing we're really, really realizing that we need very badly. And it's going to take some intentionality and setting our hearts together on that.
Yeah. David, I love hearing you say that because I think that resonates, I would gather, with most people in this room. I would think that it resonates with most people in this church, and that's what we seek to be about here. That our worship, and again, Dustin's going to get into this, unpacking it, there's a rhythm to it, you know, to our liturgy that's not just for Sunday mornings, but for our whole life, you know. And God longs for there to be a rhythm that's not shaped, because here's the challenge. Most of our lives are shaped by what? The culture around us. But what the Lord Jesus longs to do as we walk with him is he longs to reorder our lives, not around the culture around us, but around him. What does he value? What does he see important? You know? And so what we long, what I hope that you all find the longer you're around St. Andrews, what all of us do, is that you would begin to see your lives being reordered around the gospel and a gospel-centered life, as opposed to all the tugs and pulls of the culture that it brings a lot of chaos to us, right? That's why, you know, one of the things that I like to talk about is that this Anglican tradition, what we do here on Sunday mornings and hopefully plays out throughout our lives, is all about reordering our lives around the gospel. So when I pick up this Book of Common Prayer, and I actually do it online, there's, you know, everything's online now. So I've got different apps on my phone or my iPad that I can go to, and I go through morning prayer. And there's beautiful prayers that open our eyes to the Lord and help reorder our lives as we enter into a new day, right? Because there's so many distractions. And as I think about it, you know, so there's morning prayer, noon prayer, and evening prayer. They're here. And another way to say it other than reorder is to reframe. That these things help us reframe our lives around the gospel story instead of the story that we're often to jump into in the culture around us. So what Jesus is longing to do for all of us is that our lives would be reframed around the biblical narrative of God's redemption of us. And so it isn't easy. But as we take time, as we come saying, God, I want to come surrender to you more and more, bring order in the chaos. I mean, again, we've got two kids at home, one in college. We've burned up that road to Fayetteville more times than I ever imagined doing in her whole 4 years of college, and she's only been there one semester, you know? And so there's even a chaos in that for Kimberly and me going, okay, are you going this weekend or am I going? Okay, if we're going, then I'm coming back Saturday night at midnight so I can be back Sunday. And there's kind of, there can be this craziness that we find ourselves in. But Jesus wants us to step back and go, like you mentioned, what rhythms would the Lord really long for us to be in, you know? Do you want to have your kids in a gazillion activities out there to where you never sit down and have a meal together, you know? Y'all are empty nesters, but there's that reality. But even when we're not, you know, there's something, we can so busy our lives. But I want you to hear this, that order is not something that Thomas Cranmer came up with. It's not an Anglican thing. Order is right out of God's word. When God created, he created out of nothing, out of chaos, right? He created order in his creation. And he created this world to be a world of order, right? And it was for a time. When Adam and Eve walked with the Lord in the garden, what was it? It was complete order. There was no chaos. Everything was right. Everything was right. Until the fall. And when the fall came, when Adam and Eve took of that fruit and ate, God sent them out of the garden into a world now wrought with chaos, sin, brokenness, and all the other effects. It's not just us that it affected. It affected all of creation. And so what we find in this greater narrative from Genesis through Revelation, in this glorious story of redemption, is that Jesus came to bring order back into our chaos. And that's the hope of the gospel, is it not? To bring order back into our chaos. And one of the things that we pray that we would all experience in worship on Sunday mornings is that the rhythms of worship, from the beginning of the call to worship to the very end, it's about God reordering our hearts to be reframed around the order that he came to bring, right? That the gospel story is presented in every segment of our worship, in every part of the liturgy. The gospel story is there so that we would begin to reframe our minds, our hearts, around the gospel story and reorder them around what God longs for there to be, right? And I would even say, I would make that as a huge argument for not just skipping out on Sunday because we're tired, you know? And that's not to put something on people when I say that. It's really to say, we live 6 days, you know, in this world that's pulling us in all these other directions, and we need to come giving our worship to God that he would reorder us, you know, around the gospel story. So that's connectedness and order, right? But here's where order also plays out on Sunday mornings in our worship. And I mentioned a little bit about the liturgy. And what liturgy is, it's the work of the people. It's the work that we come to do in giving our worship to God, right? That's what this liturgy is. It's about us coming and giving our worship to God. I think a lot of times we view worship, and maybe you have in the past, is about what I can get, right? We can go in hoping, I hope this song's sung, you know? I hope this one's preaching, or I hope this, you know? And we often come at worship in what we can get. We're very consumer. The world calls us to be consumers, right? And we bring that mindset so often into the church. But what this worship does is it calls us into this liturgy, this work that we are doing, giving our worship to God. And so that's why what you see at worship at St. Andrew's on Sunday mornings, or really wherever we, whenever we gather, it's not about us coming as spectators. And we've all probably been at churches where it's more like a spectator. You're just there, in a sense, being entertained by the music and a great sermon, you know. But at St. Andrew's, part of our liturgy engages the whole of our lives. We sit, we stand, we, if you like, raise hands, right? We kneel, we come forward. We're engaging our senses, our bodies, and all of that is about us coming to be reordered to give our worship to God. Do you see that? It's part of the beauty of what's been kind of outlined by Thomas Cranmer in this. And what we find is, if we're open to it, our liturgy begins to form us. It begins to form us in the gospel, as opposed to all the other ways in the world that it's trying to form us. You see? And so that's why we see, that's why we love and value highly the liturgy that we have. It's not ritualistic just to be a ritual that we do every Sunday. There's importance in repetition, you know. Repetition can become, what's the word? So common that we lose its meaning. But I think that when we come as people hungry every Sunday, longing to give our worship to God, we see that even in the prayers that we pray every Sunday, the creeds that we say, the liturgy in during the Eucharist, it's not rote, but it's the richness of the gospel continuing to form us. You see that? It's all, again, it's about bringing order back into our lives. So that's a taste of what you see of the Lord through this bringing order back to us. But I'll take it even one step further, and this is, again, part of the beauty of it. You've heard us talk, or have you? Have you heard us talk about the liturgical calendar, the church calendar? You all know what that is? So most of us live our lives based on the calendar of the culture around us. Beginning January 1, that's the new year, right? That's when the new year begins. And then we go through and just there's really not anything else other than their mile markers of Thanksgiving, of, you know, of Easter and other things. But in the Anglican world, we see order coming as we live our lives in light of the church calendar, where the beginning of the year isn't January 1, but it's Advent. And we begin to order our lives so the fourth Sunday before Christmas, Advent begins. And so think about it this way. Instead of entering into the, what we often call the Christmas season, right, of all the gifts we've got to buy, all the, you know, all the shopping, all the decorating, all of that, instead of entering into that season of December in that way, it changes us to begin to think, no, this is the season of Advent. It's the time of anticipating the arrival of the Savior. And how would that reframe your time in that, in those 4 weeks and kind of the looking forward to Christmas, to Jesus coming? How would that begin to reframe the way you live your life? That if we live with an anticipation, the Savior's coming, right? When you read the Old Testament, that's what you see. When you read the prophets in particular, that's what you read. You see this anticipation of God bringing a Savior. We don't know when, but he's bringing a Savior because we need him, because we're so broken, right? Because we've been in exile. And the thought and the hope of a Savior coming, they look with anticipation. It's the same with us. When we enter into that time, during Advent, of anticipation, the Savior's coming, right? We know that he's come, but guess what? He's coming again. And it helps us begin to anticipate his second arrival, his second Advent, in a different way. So I could go on and on about that, but that's Advent, okay? And this, I don't know if you, it excites me because it gives me a different purpose to live year after year after year instead of just going through the motions. But there's a rhythm that I can begin in, get into that points me back to the gospel story. So that's Advent. And then we have Epiphany that's after Christmas, and we celebrated it 2 weeks ago, two Sundays ago. And that's the picture of the gospel going to the Gentiles. That's why we had, you know, the kings, and there weren't really three kings. We like to say that as the hymn goes, but it's a picture of the gospel, not just to the Jews, but to the Gentiles. The gospel light going out into the world. And what that reminds us is, hey, I'm not here just for me, right? There's a call from Jesus to what? What's his call? Make disciples. To go and make disciples. To take the light of Christ to a world in darkness. And so Epiphany reminds us of that. And then we enter into the season of Lent, which is 40 days before Easter. And we're about to enter into that. I think it begins the 1st of March this year. And that's a really somber time. That's the time that we come again. What does it look like to prepare our hearts for the resurrection? You know? And the season of Lent, you'll see our liturgy change. You'll see the color change. On the stoles that we wear, it's purple. And so there's a color change as well. And so what we see in the season of Lent is it's a time that we step back and search our hearts. It's a time of repentance, right? It's a time to say, God, where have I gotten off in ordering my life more around the world as opposed to the gospel? Where are those places that you're longing to refine in me? How often do we really step back and do that? If we're not intentional, and you mentioned the word, I think, David, a minute ago, being intentional. If we're not intentional, guess what's going to happen? We're just going to cruise through life. But the season of Lent causes us as a community, again, it's not just one person, but as a community to step back and let God search us so that we can prepare for this most incredible celebration of Easter. And that makes the resurrection so much greater when we have spent 40 days on our knees, fasting, weeping, recognizing sin, celebrating God's grace in the midst of it, but our eyes set toward Easter. You know, watch what that will do if you enter into the season of Lent coming up with that posture. Watch how excited you will be come Easter Sunday. It'll be amazing. And it's an incredible celebration here. But what you find is, in the Anglican tradition, Easter's not just one day. It's a season. And I love that because it's a season, because how can you contain the glory and the beauty of the resurrection in just one celebration? And so it's a season of Easter that we go through. And then we come up to Pentecost Sunday, which we love at St. Andrew's, because Pentecost Sunday is the day that we recognize Jesus giving his Holy Spirit to his church. That we are people not living in defeat, but we are living in the resurrection life of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, God's word tells us the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives where? Dwells where? Dwells in us. Now that's worth celebrating, isn't it? And so we celebrate Pentecost Sunday because we are people alive with the Spirit. And then after Pentecost is this season, we call it Ordinary Season. And that's the green season. You'll see us wear green. And one thing it represents is just life, just life. But the Ordinary Season is really the longest. It goes from right after Pentecost up until Advent. And I love the what that depicts for you and me is that life is lived not on the mountaintop. Life is lived in the ordinary moments of the day, right? That's where life's lived, in the ordinary moments of the day. And so what that ordinary time teaches us is how do we live, be aware of what God is doing in the ordinary moments of the day, right? When you're on the phone with one of your kids, that's an ordinary moment. But it teaches us to be aware, God, how are you at work in this? You know, how are you at work when I'm in the grocery store shopping? How are you at work when I'm sitting down at dinner with my family? God is at work. And that ordinary time reminds us, God's not just at work in those mountaintop experiences, but he's at work in the ordinary moments of life. And so that's what you see, connected in order with the Anglican Church. Any questions on that? You're going to hear so much more as Dustin unpacks it. And one of the things that I hope we do maybe in the next month or so is an instructive liturgy. Has anyone been here when we've done that? I don't think any of y'all have. No, I know you haven't. It's where we take apart each part of the service and we set it up and say, here's why we're going to do this, or here's why we just did this, to explain why do we do the different things that we do? Why do we cross ourselves, you know? Why do we come in following the cross? Why do we leave recess behind the cross? You know, why do we stand? Why do we kneel at certain times? Okay? Why is the cross brought out and the gospel read in the congregation amongst everybody as opposed to up where we typically stand? So we're going to do that. That'll help bring understanding, which we hope as we do it will enhance your worship the more we understand. Okay? So that's Anglicanism 101. There's so much to unpack on that. We can talk other times, but that's it in a nutshell, okay? And how, you know, how it relates to St. Andrew's. I want to talk about the Anglican mission, because in the Anglican world here in America, you've got, it started with the Anglican mission, as David said, how these churches began to break off from the Episcopal Church to go into a place where the authority of Scripture was held high and lifted up. And so it all started with the Anglican Mission in America, AMIA. So I want to talk about one of the distinctives of that, or a few of the distinctives. Pull out your sheet. It's one that David didn't have a chance to go through, but it's the one with the circle, the pie chart, and it's maybe blue. Yep. Okay. What it says is Scripture, Spirit, and Sacrament. What we, as part of the Anglican Mission in America, value greatly is that we are a people who drink deeply from these three life-giving streams. Okay? Let me read. Many of y'all are kind of probably familiar with Psalm 1, but I want to paint this picture. And again, you see that tree, so I'm glad we left the tree up there. But listen to this. This is Psalm 1. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He's like a tree planted by streams of water that yield its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In all he does, he prospers. Okay? Where's that? Where are the roots of that tree? By streams of water, right? That's where the fruit comes and grows and becomes more and more beautiful. We believe that as we bring life, as we seek these three different streams, Scripture, Spirit, and Sacrament, that we come more fully alive as followers of Jesus. So let me kind of briefly speak to each of those. Scripture. So let me put it this way. There are a lot of churches out there today that just focus on one of those, right? There are a lot of churches that are, and I may say a Bible church, that focuses just on Scripture. And that's good, right? A focus on Scripture is foundational. So that would just be one stream that they would highlight, that would identify that church, right? More charismatic churches would focus on what stream? The Spirit, okay? And so you've got charismatic churches out there that are tremendous, wonderful, but their main focus is on the charismatic gifts, and that's what you see, one of the identifying marks. Some more high church are going to be focusing on sacraments. You know, they may lift those up higher than the others. What we see at St. Andrew's and the Anglican Mission is that we are three streams. We don't want to lift one above the other, but we recognize the value of all three of those nourishing and filling our lives. And that's powerful, right? Just briefly, speaking about the Scripture, just so that you all know this, at St. Andrew's, we view the Scripture as God's inerrant word. We don't stray from it. You know, we don't stand over it. We stand under it, that it informs everything that we do. We're not a church that's going to look where the culture is and adapt the Scriptures to that. We keep the Scriptures based on what they were all about. And so we're not going to veer from that. So I want you all to know that just point blank. You may already realize that. I hope you do. But we view the Scripture as, one, our authoritative guide in life and rule of life. It's the guide that rules all of our lives. It's infallible, unchangeable, and all-powerful. And that's what we stand on here. So that's the value of that stream coming in. But then you've got the second stream of the Spirit, and we, you know, that is a tremendous value to us, because if we are people of the resurrection, filled with the Holy Spirit, as I mentioned last Sunday, in the beginning of the book of 1 Corinthians, Paul writes that church, as messy as it was, had all the gifts of the Spirit. They weren't lacking in any of them. And I believe that's the same for us today. We don't lack any spiritual gift. We have them all here. And so we want to learn how to live into those in a humble way, where as we live out of the gifts that the Lord has given us, this church body is built up more and more. Okay, I'm going to jump back for a second. I want to read a quote to you. It's one of my favorite quotes, written by a book by David Benner, and it's about the Scripture. Okay, and it's how we long for us to experience the Scripture here at St. Andrew's. So here's what he wrote. He said, "The story of Jesus is the story of love personified. We miss the point when we simply try to do what he tells us to do. And we miss the point when we merely try to follow the pattern of his life. It's the experience of love that's transformational. Ask Christians what they believe about God, and most will have a good deal to say. It's mostly rational, right? For so many of us, what we say and believe about God stays up here." But he goes on to say this, "However, ask the same people what they know about God from direct personal experience, and most will have much less to say." A.W. Tozer notes that most of us who call ourselves Christians do so on the basis of belief more than experience. We have, he argues, substituted theological ideas from an arresting encounter. We're full of religious notions, but our great weakness is that for many of our hearts, there's no one there. He goes on to say, "Any authentic spiritual journey must grow from direct personal experience with God. Genuine knowing, personal knowing, involves more than head knowledge. It involves a relationship. It involves the heart." That's what we hope that you experience, that you come and truly experience our God here, not just learn about him, right? We can all learn about him, and a lot of us probably know a lot more than we ever thought we would. But what Jesus longs is to impact our heart, that's where the relationship just begins to explode. That's the picture, I think, of what it really looks like to be a disciple and follower of Jesus. So Scripture, the Spirit, and then the third stream that is so important is the sacraments. And I'll put it this way, we're not going to get into today looking at baptism and the Eucharist. Okay, those are the two sacraments that we adhere to at St. Andrew's that we think are the biblical ones, baptism and communion, or the Eucharist. But what I want to look at this morning is what it looks like, or at least give you a window into the idea of living a sacramental life. And I think you're going to get into this, I bet, Dustin, a little further. But I want you to think about it in this way. These sacraments, baptism and communion, help us understand what a sacramental life is all about. Here's what I mean by that. There's not a distinction between the ordinary and the sacred, the secular and the sacred. God sees everything as sacred. And so when you think about the water in baptism, right, or the bread, the ordinary bread, or the ordinary wine, okay, God takes those and he takes something that's ordinary and he transforms it into something extraordinary, right? When we come to take communion, it's still bread and it's still wine, but God takes those ordinary things and he extraordinarily transforms our faith and grows us more deeply in understanding his grace and the life he's given us, you see? And so what this sacramental life is, it's beginning to see that all the ordinary things of our day are actually sacred things for the Lord. So in a sense, communion, when we gather around at the table on Sunday mornings, that is a, you know, a sacred meal in a sense. But think about how the Lord wants to take that picture and the meal that you have at your home when you're sitting at your dining room table or at your breakfast room table eating a meal with your family or friends. That becomes something sacred. It's not just an ordinary, let's do it and go. But God, again, transforms the ordinary into something sacred, and we begin to experience more of life as we sit down together. Like, I would even say that's what we experienced this morning as we had this beautiful meal that Pauletta made. It wasn't just we're eating a meal because we're hungry, right? We're seeing God do something really sacred here, getting to know each other, sharing our lives together as we share a wonderful meal. And all of it celebrating God's abundant goodness to us because he provides us with everything. So you get a picture of that? Does that make sense? It's a lot to grasp. I know that. But what I hope you see is we're intentional about all that we do because God is intentional about all that he's doing. And so the more that we begin to grasp what he's up to, I think the more that we can more fully grasp what does it look like to really be a follower of Jesus in an intentional way where our lives are growing and the lives of those around us are being transformed. I'm going to transition and go to how this really plays out at St. Andrew's for just about 10 more minutes. But before I do, I want to read a quote by our Bishop Philip Jones. He is our apostolic vicar in the Anglican mission. And he was one of the priests here at St. Andrew's a number of years ago. But I love how he brings together this whole idea of being a three streams people. He articulates it like this. He says, embodying a three-stream worship experience and way of life, we know that the power and witness of the Holy Spirit is working transformatively in our lives. We as individuals and as the church should be making a difference in the culture around us. As Jesus' Spirit shines through us, it spills out onto all who we are and all around us, whether we see it or not. We can change the climate from darkness to light, from depression to hope, from sickness to healing, from weakness to the power of the gospel and spiritual authority. That's powerful. And I believe as we receive and drink deeply from those three streams, we begin to see that happen. Not only as our lives are transformed, but as we begin to see God transform lives around us in the community. Okay? So that's big picture Anglicanism. That's big picture the Anglican mission that we're a part of. Now, just for the next 10 minutes, and then we're going to get out, I want to talk about what does this look like at St. Andrew's? How does this vision play out? And so I want to read, one of the things that we value highly here is the word discipleship. And when we think about discipleship, we don't think about it as a program. It's not something tacked on to all these other things that you could do at St. Andrew's. Discipleship is a way of life. It's who we are. It's actually our identity, because as followers of Jesus, we are disciples. And that's what it means. So I want to give you the vision of St. Andrew's, and it's this. It's we are called to be a community of disciple-making disciples who experience and extend God's grace and healing. Okay, let me say it again. That we're called to be a community of disciple-making disciples who experience and extend God's grace and healing. Now here's where this gets real for us, okay? Think about it in this way. Discipleship gets real in these three ways. First, as we abide in Christ, right? Jesus said, if you abide in me, truly you are my disciples. So if we abide in Christ, that's what it looks like to be a disciple. That we are people who live our lives abiding in Christ moment by moment. It's not just something we do on Sunday. It's not just the quiet time that we have, but we live our lives in an intimate, abiding, moment by moment relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? Secondly, discipleship gets real as we live in redemptive community with one another. We live in redemptive community with one another. Community is crucial, right? We've already talked about that. God and the whole idea of the Trinity gives us our understanding of true community. Because in the Trinity, you have the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit all living together in this most incredible relationship of mutual love and affection, right? That's what he longs for us to look like as his body. And so we seek, as a community at St. Andrew's, that we would live in redemptive community. Now, I say redemptive because isn't that what it's all about? The way we learn to love each other? The way we learn to forgive each other, right? Because we're going to hurt each other. You know, every person does. But when we live in community with one another, to understand forgiveness, to understand repentance, to understand what unconditional love is, we begin to look more like the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what people long to see. So abiding in Christ, living in community, and the third one is joining in God's mission. We can be really good, y'all, at abiding in Christ, can't we? Or letting that be a focus, right? And we can even begin to learn how to be vulnerable. And I love, Ellen, how you just were vulnerable. You just shared your heart here with us. I love that because that's a part of being in community, that we live in community with each other. And we can learn to do that when we're really open and honest. But I think the one that becomes most challenging for probably most of us is the whole, what does it mean to live on God's mission? I'm not going to get into that, but I just want you to think about that. Is that a piece that's lacking in your own life? Because I'm going to go back to the original vision that we're a community called to be what? Disciple-making disciples. It's intentional. Dustin and Seth and I spent 3 years kind of putting this out, you know, simmering on this, trying to grab what are we really about here? And it's that we are disciple-making disciples. So it's not just about us learning and growing, but it's about us learning and growing, being transformed so that we understand the call of Jesus to go and make disciples. Okay? That's what we've got to be about here at St. Andrew's. Not just, oh, what all I can get for me, but as I am abiding in him, living in community, I'm beginning to get a bigger vision of what it looks like to live on mission. You know, and I use the words where we live, work, and play. And so there's a lot more to be said on that, but I just wanted to set this up, okay? And the beauty of this is discipleship gets real, abiding in Christ, living in redemptive community, and joining in God's mission. All of that is shaped by the three streams. So that's how they all tie in together. They're all shaped by living under the authority of the Scripture, being empowered by the Spirit, and living a sacramental life. All of this comes together as we see ourselves living as disciples. So that's a picture of how this gets lived out. There's a lot more I could say, but I think I'm going to go ahead and stop. We've been here a long time this morning. But I want to wet your whistle about what how this gets played out with us and what we value at St. Andrews. We want to be a people who are disciples making disciples. And again, the importance of learning to abide in Christ, living life in community, and then understanding more fully what does it look like to live life on mission. I will tell you, as you begin to give your life to these three things, you will find purpose coming back into your life. It was a place that you longed for. You'll find excitement. You'll find that every new day truly is a gift of the Lord that He wants us to enter into and unpack what He has for us and be used by Him to praise Him, but also to extend His kingdom, not just in Little Rock, but beyond. All right. Any questions? No?
Millions.
I know. Good. I'm glad you said that because you will have them and Dustin will be here to answer them. And I'll be popping in from time to time in the class as well. But this, I hope, wets your whistle and...